I'm just thankful to God for what all he's doing and how we can be praying for him. And perhaps we need to be thanking him for how he's there during our suffering, being there during our suffering. Thirty-something years ago, pre-kids, we had an out-of-town preacher where we were attending. He came in and he did a Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday on prayer. And I was just assigned out of the blue to be the opening prayer. That was the worst thing. In fact, he apologized. He goes, "So sorry, there's tons of pressure to be the person that has to open up in prayer. You haven't had any of this training on prayer." And I'm like, yes. Yeah. So what I want to do is I'm going to play a prayer. This is from the 21 Days of Prayer. Can I turn this on and not be like electrocuted?
Hey.
Will that work?
Yes. Obviously not, but.
Okay, if not, I'll just hold it up.
I mean, hello, hello.
Okay. This is from the 21 Days of Transforming Prayer. Jill and I, we went like a year or so ago, and we were handed these books. We started looking at it. It's kind of, you know how sometimes the Bible you go through, right? You're like, that part, and then like a year later, like, oh my goodness, where did this come from? And that's kind of how this was with this book. And we went through and we're like, wow, this is amazing. He had a second book, 21 Days of Overcoming Strongholds and Praying for Those That Are Trapped in Strongholds. And I'm going through that and I'm getting near the end of it. I'm like, this is amazing stuff. And I'm like, day 15, 16, 17 in there, something like that. He starts mentioning about going to a prayer summit. And they have these prayer summits. And I'm reading on this prayer summit. I'm like, oh, fire me up. I am ready. Like, I wonder where in the world one of these is going to be. And it says it's here in Lutz, Florida, like 2 days later. So Jill and I went on a Friday night and a Saturday. Wow. We learned so much. So I want to take some of that same information as I shared with Neil, as I shared with Shaq, wherever Shaq went, I shared with Shaq. They're like, oh, yeah, why don't you kind of share some of this? So that's what we're going to do. So here's the author of that. I'm going to try to do his prayer right here.
Father, in Jesus' name and by your Holy Spirit, we thank you today for the finished work of Christ on the cross. We thank you that when he hung on that cross on our behalf, completing the work of redemption, that the veil that separated sinful man from a holy God was torn in two. And now we are invited into the most profound sense of unity a human can know on this earth. Thank you that we have the joy of seeking you as in a mirror and beholding the glory of the Lord and being transformed from glory to glory, even as by the indwelling Spirit of God. And we thank you this day for the price that was paid for the privilege of prayer. And let us never take that lightly, but realizing that it required the very blood of our Savior for us to know this joy and privilege. Let us seek you daily with spirit-empowered passion and with a desire to know you more. Father, we confess that many of our traditions and rituals of the past, the experiences that we've had, have not always been life-giving, and we have settled on many occasions for second best. But we thank you that your word is clear, that we begin in prayer with our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, declaring your worth, seeking your face, exalting you, and desiring your glory in our lives. Thank you, Father, that worship ignites our requests and changes the way that we pray when we seek your face before we seek your hand. I thank you, Lord, that this is not complicated, that Jesus made it so clear, and that we have the privilege in these coming days to experience together prayer as Jesus commanded it to be. And I personally thank you, Lord, that in my decades of pastoring, I have seen so many lives transformed as we understood the principle of scripture-fed, spirit-led, worship-based prayer. And Lord, would you remind us, please, as we begin this journey, that if all we ever do is seek your hand, we may miss your face. But if we will seek your face, you will be glad to open your hand. And so, Lord, we answer the call as we see in Psalm 27, that when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, will I seek. And so, Lord, like the song we declare, Lord, you are beautiful. Your face is all I seek. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds in me. I pray, God, in these coming days, your grace will abound in profound ways, making us more like Jesus, teaching us to pray, and empowering us for the mission for which you have left us here on this earth. And we pray this for the sake of your kingdom and the honor of your Son. Amen.
Amen. We didn't plan the song. I know, isn't it just great? I'm like, we're sitting there singing the song. I'm like, oh, this will fit well. So three things I don't want. One, I don't want you to think like I'm an expert or I'm someone higher or I'm here with all the answers. That is so not true. I'm on this journey learning just like everyone else. And this is an interactive prayer workshop. We're going to help each other as we grow and as we go. Two, I would never think nor say that the way that we've been doing anything is wrong as far as in our prayers, how we're doing things. But rather, isn't it always true that we're always just trying to improve? And then third, I don't want that I would teach something that's not true. And so I always pray before I start and before I end the class, if I've said something wrong, if someone has said something that's not true from the audience, because we want participation, but if it isn't, we just pray that the Holy Spirit would take that away from us. We don't have to remember it. We don't have to dwell on it. Just like whenever I was talking about, ooh, boy, that's going to slide right off, isn't it? Okay. Just like with any book, there's 21 Days of Transforming Prayer. They're like $6 for them. It's great stuff. Do I agree with everything? No. Like any book, any Christian book or any video series you use, you don't agree with everything. But boy, there's a lot of power, a lot of good stuff. So I'll share some more about that later on. And last, I guess also I'd like to add is I tend to go fast. And so God bless you, Neil. I know he's watching. He told me he's watching today. He's like, go slow. Because my poor brother Neil, we've been meeting every week, and I fire hose. I come in and just nail him. It's just, we're just so excited about talking about things, and it's just like a machine gun or whatever. And he's like, okay, back up. And so, Jason, you're going to do me a big favor while we're here. Richard, you're the backup favor. If I'm going too fast, do this. Just do that, okay? You're not going to, just right in the middle, if I'm, you're like, I'm just going to slow down. The other thing is, sometimes someone will say something, we need it repeated. And sometimes it's me as a teacher or you from the audience. And so you guys just do that. I'll probably have to look back at my notes to try to repeat it, because some things are just Holy Spirit led and you don't know exactly what you're saying until later. So, okay, slow and repeat. You guys are good. Now, I also give everybody here in the audience the same thing. Like, raise your hand, like, and go, like, slow down. You're killing me here. So, because I'm a note taker, and I'm glad you have notes. So, here we go. What is prayer? Okay, I really want to just stop. Word definitions are so incredibly important, right? And I really want to hear from you. So now Jason's going to go hotwire on me as he runs around with the mic. What is prayer? I really want you to just stop and think. I'm going to shut up, and then we're going to... But how would you define it? What has been your experience? Here's a couple right here.
Conversation.
It is the communication between ourselves and God.
Communication with ourselves and God. There's someone in the back too. Go ahead.
It's something we bring to God and then we leave it there.
Bring it to God and leave it there.
What she said up there, the conversation with God. That's what I was going to say.
Conversation with God.
Our source of wisdom, because he says if he asks him, he will freely give it to us.
Okay, so prayer is also a source of wisdom. We ask him and he'll give to us. And I'm repeating some of this because I don't know how it's kicking through to the online audience.
I would say relationship too, having a relationship. It's the communication, but it's also a way of being closer to God by letting him know our thoughts and feelings and worries and good things.
Okay, before we walk around anymore now, hold on just a second. Those that are online, okay, we want you to type in the chat. What would you say? What is prayer? Because Joel's going to read a few of those for us out loud, and we've kind of... So we want to hear from you, too, those that are online. What is prayer to you? And we'll get back to you in just a second.
I'm going to make it real simple. It's just talking to God.
Talking to God. Anyone else? Okay. Joel, do we have anything from online? Nope? No? Okay. We'll keep pushing on them. Maybe they'll do some stuff. So, okay. Oh, shoot. Use the right button. It's our discussion with God. That's the conversation that you were mentioning. But it's our discussion with God. We didn't really bring this one up yet, but it's our praising God, right? Neil has shared before, he's like, wow, it's all starts with and it's about worship. Our discussion, so we're trying to get better at this in our family, is we went to a thing and we're like, and they were talking about don't talk unless you can do eyeball to eyeball. We're trying to get rid of the screen problem. You know, you're talking to somebody and they're constantly... And so if you're working with your family and talking with them, just stop talking till you get their eyeballs, eyeball to eyeball. And it kind of seems like that is a conversation with us, that this should be give and take, right? If it's truly a discussion, it would be a discussion with the Lord. So that leads to the next one. It's our listening to God. So how many like to show up with your list, right? We all do, right? It's just you don't have to answer that one. I'm really good and was really good for a lot of years with list prayers versus listening prayers. Listening prayers are more Holy Spirit led. Listening prayers are more looking at the Word, praying the Word, pausing on the Word, meditating on the Word. Huh, that kind of struck me different this time. I want to praise you, Father. And I'm going to look at these three or four verses. I read those verses. What are you bringing up to me? It's like, oh, wow, just something. You know how sometimes you read a passage and something jumps off the page that didn't jump off the page a year ago? That's kind of our listening prayer. It's also our request to God. That's our list. We're used to doing that one. Our praise part is magnifying him. Our praise part is acknowledging him. All right, so this one's kind of a stretch on the listening prayer. Just sometimes you just pray and then just wait. And it's like, who do you, like, I do this driving down the road. Lord, who is it that needs encouragement? What do I need? Who do I need to call? What do I need to say? If I believe that the Holy Spirit indwells us, right, and we believe that we have the Spirit of God, we believe that we have God, we have the Spirit of Jesus, we have the mind of Christ, we have the will of God, we have all these things going on inside of us, right, and that he's sanctifying us, he's setting us apart, he's using us to advance the kingdom, and you're praying a prayer that's saying, who do I need to call, and then I wait, and the first name that comes to mind is always Mark, filling in that spot, so I don't call that one. That's me. Maybe that works for you. It just doesn't work for me. It just falls dead. And I'll just wait. Every time he's given me a name. I thought, okay, what do you want me to pray about? Pray about this. Pray about these one, two, three things. Now call that person and pray with them. Don't pray for them. And then it would be calling up Jason. Hey, Jason, man, how's it going? Doing good today? Hey, I was just thinking about you. I was just praying. And the Lord just put on my heart just to pray with you. Can I go ahead and do that? No one's turning that down, by the way. Yeah. And I pray. And as I'm praying with you, and I pray those one, two, or three things every time this has happened, that person will start weeping on the phone. Our God is good. Our God knows us. He knows when we need encouragement. And I've had people, how in the world could you possibly know? I was just talking to God about that. I needed that encouragement. I'm like, it's not me, brother. It's what the Lord just gave me. Just want to encourage you. That would be listening prayer. Our request to God, it says. That's the, I really can't do this. I need your help. This is not the prayer of last resort. That drives me crazy. Just, yeah, and I'm going to go ahead and pray about it. It's like, really? How about we do that first? And then let's go ahead and see how he leads us and takes us on this journey. And then it's our thanksgiving to God, right? Make all your requests made known to God with prayers and thanksgiving. Make all your, with all supplication for the saints. Our thanksgiving, do we really acknowledge and thank him for what he's really doing in our lives? Wouldn't that be a more intimate, you said, conversation, communicating with God, being with God and bringing it to God and leaving it there, talking to God? I mean, that's how Jill and I would talk to each other as husband and wife, right? We would talk back and forth, and she'd say, I'd say, she'd say, I'd say, you know, listen, what? Clarify. I'm just thankful to God for what all he's doing and how we can be praying for him. And perhaps we need to be thanking him for how he's there during our suffering. Being there during our suffering. Okay, I have no idea what time it is. Okay, 7:22, because we're going to do some breakout stuff here. So, next one. Our focus is on God. Worship-based prayer, scripture-filled prayer, spirit-led prayer. Have you ever wondered what to pray? I know I have. Have you ever wondered, how do I pray? Have you ever thought about what words do I say? Or are my words, quote, pleasing to God? Are they good enough? Are they the words that he would want me to say? 100% of the time, you cannot go wrong doing scripture-filled prayer. Pray the words that he said to us. It's like, wow, that is so, so incredibly powerful. You can't go wrong saying his words. And there's a lot of material there. A lot of time that we can spend with him. Being spirit-led, if we could turn to Romans chapter 8, not verse 28. We're going to go to Romans 8 in 26 and 27. I need somebody to read that, and then Jason will bring you the mic. Romans 8, 26 through 27. This is the spirit-led portion. Someone quickly? All right, Judy, back there.
In the same way, the Spirit always helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he is intercedes for the saints according to the will of God.
Okay. That's prayer. Spirit-led, communing with God for things we don't know sometimes to say. You ever been so much just pain and so much, I have no idea what to even do, right? Right? You're flat on your face and you're exhausted and you're just crying out to the Lord. Well, wouldn't we also rather know and pray and do the will of God rather than trying to get God to join our little plan? But boy, my list prayers in the past have just so been showing up with my agenda. Hello, God. You know, Here's my top three. I have 10, but I'll give you my top three. So Daniel, in his prayer book, the 21 Days of Transforming Prayer, he says this was really good. Worship-based prayer, it's about. This approach to prayer always begins with a focus on biblical, spirit-empowered worship. This is distinctively different than the traditional approach that emphasizes prayer requests and long list of needs at the as the foundation of prayer. Christ taught a worship-based approach to prayer. We're going to be looking at that tonight. It's modeled by many biblical personalities, and it's fueled by scriptural truth in every single case. Worship-based prayer ignites a desire for spiritual intimacy and personal transformation. In this discovery, a Christian is then empowered and enlightened to pray about issues and needs in a whole new way. So our corporate prayer, that's all of us getting together, obviously. Whether it's in your small group Bible study, maybe a Sunday morning class or a Wednesday night class if we weren't here tonight. It is to seek God's face before we seek his hands. See, often my list-based prayer would be about, I want the hand of blessing. God, here's my list, rather than seeking the face of God. But we must seek his face before we seek his hand. In Psalm 27 and verse 8, he says, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" God's face, what is that? Well, it's the presence, the essence of who he is. It's his appearance. It's his person. If all we ever do is go to seek his hand, we may miss his face. But if we seek his face, he will be glad to open his hand and satisfy the deepest desire of our hearts. That is not a name it, claim it kind of thing. But it's right. He creates that desire in our hearts, and he's fulfilling the true deep need desires of what we have going on. So it's that peace that surpasses understanding. I just lost my fill in the blank. I'm tore up. I need help. We just hit the bottom. Also, our corporate prayer is a time to talk to him, not just about him. And it's also to passionately seek to understand and know intimately and relate to him. To know him and intimately relate to him. You know, some have brought up the idea of, well, which is more important, corporate prayer or personal prayer? I love how Daniel answered that when we were at the summit. He goes, yes. We're like, what? He goes, okay, so which one's more important for walking, your left leg or your right leg? Okay. Perhaps in corporate prayer, maybe there's much, much more for us to commune with Father. And I get it. It's hard. It's hard for us to really do effectual, fervent corporate prayer. All church buildings, you're in the box, we call it. And so you have certain things, man, we got time frames and we have different, it's hard to really let the Holy Spirit kind of flow on some of that. And so we have to make room. And so sometimes that's easier in a small group whenever we get together, or tonight, right? 7:30, we're doing great, okay. He also says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer," in Isaiah 56. And then Jesus, when he is ticked off and full of the wrath of God after them, and he's overturning the tables and you den of thieves, and he's just going at them. He's like, "You have ruined this, that this should be the house of prayer." I get it. That is the temple. That was the courtyard there at the temple. In Isaiah 56, he's talking about the temple. But we also know in Ephesians 2, who can read that? Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. Now you know why I asked you to bring your Bible, so you could write in your Bibles and circle and highlight. All right, up here, Patty. Oh, he's coming. He's not just a good song leader. He's a fast runner.
"So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit.
We are being built into a dwelling of God for his Spirit. We are the temple. We should be the house of prayer. We should be loving God and loving each other. And he said, by this they'll know that you're my disciples, the way that you love one another. One of the best ways that we can be truly loving each other is really praying for each other. Taking the time, I would encourage you to step outside of any, if you have this uncomfortable zone of, I don't like to pray with people, I'll pray for people. It's a completely different experience whenever you're praying with someone versus for someone. So I encourage you, reach out, baby steps. And maybe some of you are like huge prayer warriors and you're all over that and doing that all the time, and that is awesome. Comments, questions so far? I need to stop. Slow down. Anything from anyone? Yes, Bob. Give me a water break.
Due to a friend's illness, and we've requested prayer for Betty Murdoch several times here. And what I'm getting at is Judy and I used to discuss, would it be okay to pray that to relieve her pain and suffering, that to pray that the Lord takes her. And I think both of us struggled with that. But I'll have to say we did finally pray that the Lord would intervene, and we both felt like she was ready. And it was tough. So I just wanted to share that. Maybe somebody has some thoughts that on that.
Anyone?
I went through the same thing with praying for God to ease my father's pain. And when he did, it was like, oh, wait a minute. I really didn't mean that, but I mean, I did, but still.
Sure.
It's kind of like one of those prayers you're talking about, the Spirit led. I mean, when I was praying, I kind of didn't know what to say. Mm-hmm. So I feel like at that time, it took over.
Yeah.
And that's been a long, long time ago.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Eric, did you have to come? Because, go ahead, Eric.
I was just going to say, I read something today. It said, when you were born, you cried and everybody rejoiced, but when you die, you rejoice and everybody cried.
That's good. Our goal is home. Even Paul talked about that. It's really better if I go ahead and go on home, but it's really to your gain if I go ahead and stay here. He's wrestling with that same thought. God already knows our days. I don't think there's any wrongness or sin involved with saying, hey, I would really like this person to be out of pain. I think I would also add to it, God, if that's not what you're going to do right now, would you comfort them as they go through that pain? Help them to learn. Help them to draw close to you. Help them to grab and run to you. Help me as I'm struggling with this, because I don't like to see this person in that much pain. You know, when you're around someone and they're heaving, trying to breathe, and they're it's like, whew, remember? It's like, please take her. But just, please, Lord, just. So I get it. It's very real. And think about it. When God created it, it was all good, and there was no death and decay. And then us, right? And all these things start happening and so forth. But he's going to restore us. And so she has a new body, and she's way happy. I've always thought about, I wonder what Lazarus felt when he came back. He's like, you pulled me from, oh man, that was awesome. You know, it's like, okay, a little while, I'll be back there. Good points. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else? Okay. This quote, Daniel says, like anyone, I love it when God answers my prayers in ways that makes my life more pleasant or pain-free. Yet I'm learning that my deepest needs are met when my heart is most closely aligned with the Word of God, the Son of God, the Spirit of God, and the purposes of God. I feel God calling me beyond superficial solutions as the focus of my prayers to discovering the profound joy of a transformed life. Boy, there's so much meat there. You could camp out all day on hearts aligned with God. Sure, we want our hearts aligned with God. Don't we want to be just in sync? I would love to be able to do just what Jesus said. I only do what I see my Father doing. I only speak what I hear my Father saying. It's like, ooh, man, sign me up. I'd love to be doing that all the time. Wouldn't you like to be more into the Word of God, the Son of God, the Spirit of God, the will of God, the purposes of God? Isn't our goal in life to be to have a transformed life? Because when our life is transformed, how different is that as we're really out and speaking with others, being a light to them? And it's all possible in prayer, by the Spirit, and by submitting to God that we become like Christ. All right, so this is the famous one that we all know, the Lord's Prayer. Luke 11, 1 through 4. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Okay, so that's the famous prayer, right? That's the one, depending on how old you are, you heard that a bunch. And you could just get into that rote. Like you were probably quoting it in King James. So you're messing me up, Mark, with these little words. So here's my question. Is this a ritualistic rote quoting format? Do you think that's what Jesus was doing? Think man makes it that way. Okay, thank you. Who else? Yes. Oh, yeah. Psst, runner. Psst, psst. There he goes. He's like, he doesn't get any notes.
Yeah. That's exactly right. You know, man makes it that way because being raised Catholic, we would say that like over and over and over with the Hail Mary, and it's just like there was no meaning to it all versus it being an example of the way we're supposed to pray different things so we don't like leave different things out, you know, a little format, let's say.
Yeah. So. Good. So go ahead, Richard. Sorry.
I've always wondered, you know, when he said, when you pray, say this. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was intending for them to, every time they prayed, repeat those same words over and over. And mm-hmm. I imagine that they understood that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he was obviously teaching them the types of words to say, the types of things to pray for. And somehow I think they probably understood that.
Yeah. So I'd like to dig into that because there's two parts. Monty?
It seems to me that when you see the question it was asked, teach us how to pray. I think he was giving them, as you say here, a format. Here is the way you need to approach God. You need to approach him thankfully. You need to approach him as you would a loving father. You need to communicate what you're feeling and what you think you need, what you're willing to do.
Yeah.
So, like you say, a format that can help us, I hope, build our prayers to become a relationship.
Yes. Very good. Brian, in the back left.
I agree with what everyone said so far, but I also think that in that day and age, it was very common for teachers to have their own prayers and their own different prayers. And so they specifically asked, John taught his disciples to pray, teach us how to pray. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I don't know if everyone's watched it or not, but The Chosen does a really good job of this, because all throughout the TV series, they're praying different scriptures. They're praying the Psalms. They're mm-hmm. praying different ones they see all the time. So in their day and age, they didn't have the full Bible. They had the Old Testament. They had those prayers, the Psalms, the Proverbs. And then also they had the, like the Pharisees and different teachers. And so they wanted kind of an arsenal of prayers. Hey, teach us one for these occasions. And so I think that's also what it could mean.
Yes. Michael, did you raise your hand for something? No, okay. I thought like somebody said something online. Okay. So lots of answers to all that. First of all, I love the way that God goes in and takes out when they go into the promised land. He does not do the same thing the same way with any of the cities. Go in, walk, 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 blow a horn. This time go in and trick them. Pull them out and let's surround them. This time I want you to go around. This time watch what I'm, and it's like he does it different every time. Second, I cannot imagine that Jesus, when it says he goes out and he spends all night in prayer, that he said that prayer over and over and over and over for like 8 hours. I don't see that at all, right? And then we have one example that we're going to get to in this class of what the disciples really did. And so we'll see our answer, but not tonight. I'll make you come back next week or the following. So is this ritualistic rote quoting format, or is it perhaps teaching us a principle-based format for communing with Father? So we want to be careful. We don't want a formula, right? But if we have guidelines, principle-based guidelines, that's how we live our life, is by principle-based guidelines, right? And so by doing that, then we're going to get into the heart of God as we pray with him. So we have reverence, response, request, and readiness. So we're going to hit this like 3, 4, 5 different ways, but we're sure not doing all that tonight because I'm about to make us break out into groups. So the idea is reverence. My response, wow. My response, here's my request, Lord, and then make me ready. Does that make sense? Reverence, response, my request, go make me ready. Another way that we talked about a few weeks ago was ACTS, Acts. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. It's the same thing. Reverence or adoration. Ooh, boy, I'm responding to this. I need to confess about this, right? Hey, I have some requests. Make all your requests be made known with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, and help me with this. And then make me ready to go do battle. It's like, supply me with what I need. I need to go out there and do this. And we're going to see that through several prayers in Scripture. They follow the same format, and then we're going to dig into it a different night, a couple different ways. So, I think I'm going to, which one's the hardest? ACTS. Which one? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, or supplication? Is it reverence or request? Is it reverence or response, request or readiness? Which one you think is the most hard to pray? To focus on?
Probably the confession.
Okay. Yeah, confession. Because it takes humility. Who else? Which one's the hardest for you? A, C, T, or S? Some of my battle has been taking the time to adore and worship God. It's Heavenly Father, boom, hit my list. Dear Lord, boom, hit my list. It's like, wow. So for me, it's really been some adoration things. So tonight we're gonna take some time and really spend some time just in the reverence and adoration. So we already saw our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done it is on earth as it is in heaven. And normally we would not be doing this, just praying praise, but we're just gonna pray praise. We're about to break out into small groups, and before somebody's blood pressure goes through the sky, don't worry, when I explain how we're gonna do it, you're gonna be okay. But it's praise and adoration to him. And there we go, right there. Praise first and foremost. If we're going to go and talk with Father, we really need to praise him. And the way Jesus did that is what you see on the left-hand side. We might be doing it slightly different. So what we have is the attributes of God, the character of God, which is different than the names of God. And then there's Psalm 145 through 150 that I gave you to be reading every day between Wednesday and now, or Sunday and now. One of the coolest things I did is, as I went through and I came across this concept like a year or more ago, I stopped my regular Bible stuff and I started just doing five psalms a day. And as I read the psalm, I highlighted in my app just anything that talked about any of those things, the attributes of God, the character of God, the name of God. And then I stopped and I just prayed only that praise with zero request on my heart. I just want to praise you. That was an incredible month. You can do that. Five psalms a day for 30 days will get you through 150 chapters. Although Psalm 119 takes a little long that day, I'm just saying. But it's great. It is absolutely great. So it's going to be workshop time. So, boy, I wanted to teach on a bunch of stuff before we did this, but we're going to wing it and we're going to come back to this. So we have the attributes of God. You should have this in your sheet, right? Please, I hope. Yeah. Oh, good. All right. So before you go to the next page, at the bottom of that first page, you see, or second page, it says attributes. Yeah, worship time. The attributes of God, the character of God. Start writing out. Would you just stop for just a second and write a couple things? What are some attributes of God? You can cheat and look up there, but that might make you think of something else, which is just totally cool. That's fine. But I want you to write two attributes, two character things, and you can flip back and forth, and two names of God. Can you do that? And online, I'd have you do the same thing. While they're working on this, I want you to do the same thing and write that down, because I want you to either by yourself, or if you have others that you're watching this with, that you guys are going to break into a small group and you're going to pray kind of like what we're going to do. Okay, everybody got two? Okay, good enough? Close enough? All right, so the character of God, this is how God described himself. He did it at Mount Sinai in the burning bush and said, I'm going to be bringing these people back here and we're going to meet and we're going to be given the covenant. Who do I say sent me? Who is it? Say that I am. Tell me some more about that. And God describes himself. I am the Lord God. I am merciful. I am gracious. I am compassionate. He's slow to anger. He's long-suffering. He's abounding in love and faithfulness. It's like, who's God? God says who God is, and that's how he defines himself. So you can use those in your prayer. And the names of God. Okay, there's lots of names, but Elohim, the creator, Adonai, the Lord, El Elyon, the God Most High, El Elroi, the God who sees, El El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. What I love about the Old Testament is names meant something. And when you said it, they understood what you were saying. Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. So those are all on your sheets too. So here's how we're going to break into groups. We don't want you to be in bigger group than six. Just two of you, if you want to do husband and wife, that's fine. If they're just two of you, that's fine. Two or three of you, four of you, whatever. You can go anywhere in the building. You can go in small groups in here. You can go out in the hallway. You can go in the foyer. You can go on the front porch. We're going to go for just 15 minutes, which takes us like 4 minutes over, but we'll deal with that, right? Because it's not like we're going to do a bunch of stuff. After this, we're done for tonight. You can do popcorn prayer. Popcorn prayer is when you get a bunch of you together and you're just praying, 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 and someone says something, they just stop. Someone else just, whew, that just, you're praying about God provides. God, I thank you. You are my sustainer. Someone else, God's my provider. God, and we can just praise him. You can do that if you would like. But please, let's try to keep this only to praise and adoration. Let's not do a list. Let's not bring our needs up. Let's just go praise God in small groups. Husbands and wives, you're welcome to go and just be your own small group. And you can pray that way with just the two of you if you want to go spend time. You can also look at the list that I gave you, attributes and characters, and you can, the names of God, or take your Bible, open up Psalm 145, and pray that out. Praise you, Lord, in the highest. May all the starry hosts praise your name. You are great. You are the creator. You can just do all kinds of great stuff. That's it. So next week, I do want you to come back, but as soon as I say we're going to do confession, half the group wants to run because you're thinking the wrong way. It's not that. We're going to do something very cool about confession next week, Lord willing. So, all right, can we do that? You can break. You can go in the hallways, classrooms, if it's not taken up with the high schoolers or wherever. Outside and just get in the groups, but you got to go quick. Just don't be shy. Just grab some people. Hey, would you go with me? You guys can go and do. Just yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And then for those that are online, because they're going to go do their stuff, I would really like for you to take this exact same thing, Joel. Yes.
Neil and Bill are watching you and say you are coming in loud and clear.
Okay, good. Glad to hear it. So Neil and Bill, take the attributes of God, the names of God. I'm going to throw it up here on the screen so you should be able to see that. He can focus in on that instead of me. We're going to cut the sound and just let you pray those praises. God bless y'all.